OPEC, the oil producers' cartel, is meeting today to indirectly talk about our household budgets. I mean, we do pay for gas. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. OPEC meets today in Vienna, and this time we expect few surprises. Now, last Thanksgiving, the cartel stunned markets by not cutting output to boost sagging prices, and the group will likely announce plans to keep pumping vigorously, which has most analysts predicting a lower price environment going forward. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Scott Tong reports.
The theme this meeting is not just pumping oil, but doing it more efficiently. Analyst Jamie Webster of IHS is at the Vienna meeting. He says oil executives told OPEC this week that low prices are forcing them to cut costs.
So this brings the total cost of supply hopefully downward, which does set us into a path where maybe we won't be getting back up to that $100 mark for some time.
You will recall crude prices stayed north of $100 a barrel for more than 3 years before tanking last year. Most OPEC members will keep drilling for a few reasons. They need the money. They're fighting for customers. And, says Seth Kleinman at Citigroup, they sense a peak in the market. Not peak supply, but eventual peak global demand for oil.
You see the surge in renewables, increasing probability of something getting done about climate change. You actually could see the Saudis sitting there thinking that we're sitting on top of a huge depreciating asset, so we need to produce it all and we need to produce it now.
He also sees softer prices for now. This is, after all, the high-risk, you-never-know oil market. I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Many people care about jobs more than they care about, quote, the economy in the abstract. But in about an hour and a half, government statisticians give an assessment of both the May employment report. The consensus of forecasters expect another pretty good steady-as-you-go performance, 225,000 new jobs created, unemployment sticking at 5.4% perhaps. But we can't rule out surprises. And as Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports, any teenagers who are following the employment stats might just decide to get up a bit earlier in the morning and apply for that summer job this year.
For teenagers, summer job prospects are better than they've been in years. The Dairy Queen near my house in Portland, Oregon is hiring. It's across the street from a high school, and manager Chris Mooneyham says some of the students who come to eat have summer applications in.
We probably hire three or four good people, about 25 to 30 hours a week.
What does it pay?
Starts at minimum wage. Once you're trained, you get up to 50 cents, a dollar an hour raise.
The teen unemployment rate is down from 27% in the recession to around 17% today. But, says Valerie Wilson at the Economic Policy Institute, there are still challenges.
There's much less federal investment in youth employment programs, so it is almost entirely upon the private sector to provide summer employment opportunities.
Also, fewer teens than ever are trying to work. They do summer school or internships, and older people are still taking a lot of part-time and seasonal jobs typically done by teens because they need the work. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Apple is expected to announce its streaming music service next week, perhaps $10 a month, and include some free channels as well. The new service is going to compete with established players like Spotify. Apple's taking on that challenge in response to a big change in the music business. From Chicago, Marketplace's Nova Safo has more.
Outside the Apple Store in downtown Chicago, 20-year-old cellist Sylvie Grace sports blue hair and blue striped pants.
Well done, you play beautifully.
Thank you.
When Grace is not playing her cello, she only listens to music for free on sites like YouTube.
Do you ever pay to download albums or tracks?
I used to when my mom was paying for them, but I haven't bought something online in a long time.
Fellow millennial Michelle Chan, who was just in the Apple Store, says she streams music for free too on Spotify.
They have playlists all set, so you don't have to look for music. And you can type in whatever you want.
Well, the trend right now is pretty clearly that streaming is growing by leaps and bounds.
Nielsen's music industry analyst David Bakula says sales of MP3s on iTunes and elsewhere are down, but the volume of on-demand streams, where Apple has little presence, has doubled to more than 110 billion so far this year.
We found that 2/3 of people are streaming music on a weekly basis. It's really permeating every demographic of society.
This massive audience is fragmented among the Spotify's and Pandora's of the world. Apple could entice that audience just by making music streaming easier on the iPhone. Colin Gillis is an analyst at the brokerage firm BGC Partners.
They should have a streaming music service. They should have a streaming video service a la Netflix.
Because, Gillis says, such services could help make Apple less reliant on iPhone sales, which are now a big majority of its profits. Outside downtown Chicago's Apple store, cellist Sylvie Grace sees opportunity for musicians, too.
It's a huge platform that could be really beneficial to a lot of artists.
But would she pay for that platform?
Not so much. I'm a struggling musician.
Maybe later.
Maybe later.
After the first Grammy.
Exactly.
Lucky for her, Apple's expected to offer both paid and free versions of its streaming service. In Chicago, I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
And growing up in Maine, we were taught the donut was invented in 1847 by a local captain, Hanson Gregory of Camden, who thawed up the hole so the middle of the fried dough would not be so undercooked and gooey. But in recent years, controversial evidence of prior art surfaced. A cookbook by the wife of Baron somebody in England references Dow nuts, Dow, D-O-W, like Dowager. That's a long way of saying that today is National Donut Day. Our senior producer is Nicole Childers. Our online digital producer is Tobin Lowe. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.